word and arguments, immediately arguing with them, ultimately arguing with them. All right, today's session discusses focusing on two areas. One is a general question about the role that certain moral or ethical principles that are based on cooking actually play in the halakhic process. And the other is, in a more specific vein, we're going to focus on the application of the principle of Dati Shalom in the context of Jewish non-Jewish relations. The Mishnah in Gittin, the first source starting document, Test Amid Aleph, which is in the middle of the Parak HaMizrachi, and the next few Mishnayot to the end of the Parak, all deal with a number of halachos which are described as Mishum Darkei Shalom. Earlier in the Gittin, in fact, there was a Parak which we learned a couple of years ago, where the series of halachos is from Tikkun HaOlam, which should then discuss a similar question. Tikkun HaOlam is a broad kind of a notion. How seriously do we apply it in a real specific halachic context, rather than this very vague, general kind of notion? Here, it gets specific. We have specific halachos, which are the Kurban, Dr. Shaw. Eilus Varim Amru Vizmei Darkei Shalom. Notice the word Amru. Amru would seem to imply that we're talking about the Rabbanim. I have to draw up my sentence from the Torah. With the biblical origin, you wouldn't use the plural of Amru. I realize that's not a very convincing argument. But we will see that the question with the rights of the Rabbanim is going to be discussed right away anyway, in the first occasion. Kohen Rishon, Vacharav, Levi, Vacharav, Yisrael, Nedarke Shalom. The first case is a difficult case that comes like a Shalom. Right? That there's a division among the Jews into three groups called Levi Israel, which reflects itself in the process of giving Aliyah, to give the first Aliyah to the Kohen, second to Levi, and the third to Israel. This one actually requires the greatest deal of elucidation in the Gemara. Marvin divides Yashua and Bifnei Darkei Shalom. This we understand better. There's a dinner in Eruvei Chaseros. You have to pick some house to leave the Eruv. So one house is selected for whatever reason it might be. The next year you have to do it again. But how long is to think what you've done, you don't see any new Machlok. Whatever Machlok is to place the year before, when that house is selected, you're already over. You start thinking anew, you create a new firm. That's these things harmonious. And the rest of them, Baruch Yukar, Ra'am, Ra'am, Yismalei, Yishon, Nedarkei Shalom. Well, again, you have an irrigation ditch bringing water from the river to the field, and you're going to, because it rains sometimes, not other times, obviously, you want to have little pits to store the water during the rainy season. Clearly there's going to be a conflict when there's an inadequate amount of water. So, in order to prevent the conflict, So you start from the beginning again. First one, but as the river flows down, they get it first, and then those later again prevent machlokes harming. Mitzvah chayav of the dogging nation mishum gezel neidat yishol. If yosam gezel gom, this is already more interesting in a certain sense. Because here we have a machlokes, and at first glance, it's difficult to understand what the argument means. If I have a trap that I can trap an animal, it's very possible to set up a trap so that it, on one hand, is effective, but on the other hand, does not meet the technical requirements of the pinion. So while I have trapped the animal, I don't own the animal that I trapped, because I didn't do a mitzvah pinion. So in order to own something, it's not enough to claim ownership. The technical way is done as the dealer's kinyon. So what if I trapped the animal, but I didn't make a kinyon? So theoretically, you can take advantage of my work. You walk over to my trap, and you take all the animals that I've trapped. Take all the fish, birds, whatever they may be. So that's also Mishum Dat Yishol. Gezel Mishum Dat Yishol. So even though I don't own it, because I didn't do a mitzvah kinyon, consider it if I own it, the Dat Yishol. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gezel Gom. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's real gezel. Now, I'm going to skip, it's not the word again, because we have the same thing in the next two cases, Messiah Pcheres Shotev Akosra Nishvish Mgezel Negati Shalom, Yossi Omer Gezel Gom. It's essentially the same principle. The Pcheres Shotev Akosra on do not do a Anas, don't have Das, therefore they don't do a Mike Kinyan. The Mike Kinyan is in Kaul. Therefore, when they pick an Abusia up, a lost object up, they didn't acquire it, so these are the Mike Kinyan. So someone else can go and take it from them. So here is the Dak Shalom, and he then says, get a go. Third case of the Ani Hamanake Barosha Zayas, Mashatasa of Gezme Dak Shalom, again, the Ani is has the right to go there, but he didn't do a mitzvah kinyan. Took it out of the tree, getting lack of mitzvah kinyan, so that goes and takes it away. The Rabbanim says, it's us, Mishum Dat Yishalom, and the Yossi says, yes, we're going. The three are three different, I hate the symptoms that you might put, different ways to get it, make the same take, where I acquire something, at least I would apparently acquire it, except from a technical legal point of view, I didn't do a nice opinion, so I didn't acquire it. And you're still not allowed to take it away from me, because it's Dat Yishalom, and I just said, get it gone. Here, and I'm going to skip to the Gemara, and we'll get back to the Gemara, turn to the Tzatzamah, the third day, the Mechalas on that Aleph, on the third line, Amar Achizah Gezel Gomor Mizibrayim. Rav Chizda points out that Rav Yossi cannot mean Gezel Gomor Daraisa because it was not my opinion. Rav Yossi can't argue that the Chayyar Shantra Makadi can't do my opinion. So therefore, it's only Mizibrayim, then the Gemara for my Naskinina. But my Naskinina means whether you hold that it's Mishem Dat Yishalom, the Gemara obviously is assuming it's also Mizibrayim, or get a Gomor Mizibrayim, it's both, you don't want to know how to take it. The Gemara answers, Lao Tio Vidayon. Rashi, this is the, you can't learn it very different from Rashi. There are bundle enough of that yarn. And the other thing gets from the eye of a hobby for the ages of the law. So in the bundle, what's the critical point here is, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a monetary thing. Alright? The Rabbanon considered it much the moment of the Chereshot of the Kosh. The Midrabanon is the might together. Therefore, all the rules of Zerah apply on a Rabbanon level. Which means that if I If I steal something which is only owned by you, midrabbanan. So I took the regression and then take it away. The chief hashav and midrabbanan will see rules of get required of rabbanan to come out. However, if it's Zaki Shalom, so the fact of the matter is the Kereshat of the Kohen doesn't own it at all. And the Mitsuda, the one who put out the traps, doesn't own anything. The Rabban didn't change that. The Rabban says that it's an immoral act to take it away from us, to take advantage of the fact that he didn't do a Maitre Kinyan or he's incapable of doing a Maitre Kinyan. And to take it away from him is not the way he's supposed to behave. And it's prohibited in the Rabban. So it's not a dinim mamis, it's not a chanshi mishpa, Isa. It has nothing to do with mamis. It's not proper behavior. Right? There are chayim problems, not a chanshi mishpa problem. Therefore, you can't go, the chayim shot of a cotton can't go to bed to get their money back. It's not a problem, it's their money. The money is not the issue. The ethical behavior issue, yes.
Is it like
to
stem out of the
seeds
of a
yashar? Is that exactly so? There's other parts. The yashar is only there one part. But there are other pesukim as well. We'll get back to the part. Alright? And that's very clear. The next Gemara, the Gemara talks about under what circumstances, in the case of the Ani HaMenachim Rosh HaChodesh, in leakage when us in the yard is a gentle gum, if he only does a micro kinyan, then he goes from the moral range to the technical, legal, monetary range. Then he had a micro kinyan. It's regular gentle. You see from this sugya that Dr. Shalom is the Rabbanon, and it's an ethical issue, it's not a legal one. I say not legal, because halakhically, we don't make the distinction. We do make distinction in terms of monetary matters, right? You can't go to Bezdin and demand the money because he acted in non-ethical fashion. So here it's clear it's Rabbanon. If Dr. Shalom is always Rabbanon, let's go back to our first case now. The case of the Kohen Kari Rishon. So the Gemara asked the Kasha. I purposely have left that last case in the Mishnah because I wanted to show, at least for the first whatever amount of time, that the issue of Dr. Shalom is not merely a Jewish non-Jewish relations issue. Up till now, the cases that were quoted in the Mishnah that we're discussing have nothing to do with non-Jews at all. It's all within the internal Jewish community. Yes. So the Gemara asked the Kasha. In fact, the Gemara asked the Ruam Kasha, in a sense. The Gemara's initial kasha should be Dr. Shalom is our Raisa. No, the Gemara at first is, where do we get it from? It's a strange question. The Mishnah says he said it to the Dr. Shalom, and the Gemara starts with saying, where did this halakha come from? The Mishnah says, Dr. Shalom. Gemara says, Nan Amili, Am Rav Masnag, Am Akra, Vayichtav, Moshe, Satar, Azot, Vayitna, Vakoanim, Bnei Levi. Also, I know the Dan of the Khan, Bnei Levi, Ninu. According to Rashi Vahar Delay, general principle, and they're talking about that in the giving of the Torah itself, that there's a tripartite division amongst the Jews. Kohen comes first, then Levi, then you first. And then the Gemara continues, gives other psukim, concluding with the one that we're most familiar with, Rafi Abba Mihacha, the Kidashto, the Chaldava Shebekdusha. Tana Zei Rabbi Shmuel, the Kiddash, the Chodar, the Kiddush, the Torah Rishon, the Varech Rishon, the Amara Yafer Rishon. By the way, the Nachkamina, which is important, but not for us, is which process you use is the question whether the Levi functions independently. It's the old question when you have no coin to give an Aliyah. Is there any reason to give a Levi first? Or the Levi only exists in terms of the tripartite division. It's Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. Eliminate the Kohen, there's no such thing as a Levi. Levi is not special. Or whether Levi independently has them. That's the question we want to hear. Is that a gosh? Now the Gemara suddenly comes along.
Amalei Abayle Rav Yosef, Medake Shalom, Zaharaisa. Suddenly, after Suki has given you all these Sukim, Abayle now asks the question of Yosef, why do you think we're Medake Shalom? It's Zaharaisa. Rav Yosef gives a very strange answer, which unfortunately the Rishonim don't analyze it because everybody follows Abayle. Not Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef obviously does it. Rav Yosef says, Amalei the Oraisa Umpnei Dake Shalom. True, it's the Oraisa, but it's because of Dake Shalom. In contrast to other halachas on Yudah Barnum because of Dake Shalom, this is the right mission, Dake Shalom. Now the question again is, what does that mean? We understood in the monetary issues later in the Mishnah, when there's a distinction between Dake Shalom, a ghetto gomor, but if we're talking on a Daraisa level, and we're talking about giving the Kohen the first Aliyah, okay, what difference does it make if it's Daraisa because it's Dake Shalom, or if Daraisa is a non-Mishnah Dake Shalom? Are we back to the old dispute, you know, in Kansipa, are the Mrs. Zera, so they represent the Yiddish of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? What does Yosef say? The right from Dr. Shalom. Let's look at that. That would be Abaye then. The Abaye asks son of Yosef, Kol HaTorah Kula Namiz Nei Dr. Shalom. He exceeds Lachar Dachei Noam the Chol Mitzivah Seh Shalom. It's a part of the Mishnah. It's a part of the Torah. Fine. Abaye asks, what do you mean? All of the Torah Dachei Noam Dr. Shalom. So therefore, Abaye says, and I don't want to get into technical issues, it's not our issue, it's talking about a case where the Daraisa wouldn't apply. The Daraisa requires you to give the Kohen first and then the Levites applied in certain circumstances. There are, however, circumstances where other considerations enter into the picture, and the Daraisa doesn't apply. Nevertheless, Midrabanon, he says, the Dake Shalom is still applied. And this makes this Dake Shalom like the case of the in a sense, like the case of the Erev, you put in one hand, right? You had a reason for doing that. Now there's no reason to choose which hand to put the Erev in, Erev Hatzer the second year. But once it was already there, you prevent fighting by saying we'll go back the old way. So in a sense, the same argument. There is a din in the Torah that under certain circumstances you give the Kohen first and then the Levi, then the Yisrael. So even in circumstances where that rule, the Torah rule won't apply, so it's sort of open-ended, so rather than having a fight, who should get the Aliyah? We'll make believe that the Torah rule still applies, simply to prevent the fight. Dake Shalom, because the instead of having an argument, we'll say there's a principle that applies in other cases. So we'll use it here as if it applies here, so it wouldn't be a fight. Now, next to Sugim. I think I'll the discussion is that always true what it is. Time to talk about that's a bit different Sugim. This whole notion, let's see what's about what's going to buy another. Abaye says the entire Torah is Dake Shalom. What does Abaye mean? You could say that Abaye means that Dake Shalom is a non-operative halachic principle on the Torah level. You have many wonderful moral principles. But in halacha, they don't do anything. Because the Torah is meant to live a proper life and to be ethical individuals. Having said that, I can't go anywhere with it. Either one, because I assume it adheres in the system,
right?
I don't have to analyze specific mitzvahs because if the Torah said them, the Torah stands for Dake Shalom, so whatever the Torah says is Dake Shalom by definition. Or, because that makes it hard to say why we're going to apply it to Rabbanu, or that it's not for us to distinguish reason from mitzvahs of the Torah. Yes, there's a principle of that Yishon, but it's just impossible to know how to apply it in the mitzvahs d'oraisa. When there is no mitzvah d'oraisa, fine, the Rabbanan will have an adult apply. Right? This would fit very much into a sentence here of an analogy of a Sita Yashavata. You find certain chiyuvim, the Rabbanan, for example, the Dinabar Metra, that if I own a field and it's surrounded by other fields, so when I sell it, before I sell it to a stranger, I have to offer the field to my poor neighbors. Right? That's the Dinabar Metra. That's the chiyuv of the Rabbanan. Right? It's under the rubric where Sita Yashar comes to the Raisa part of the Pasuk. But it's not a chiyuv d'oraisa, it's a chiyuv d'rabbanan. Because the d'oraisa, the Sita Yashar HaKadosh, is general in nature. I can't pin it down. I can only pin it down applying it to the d'rabbanan. Why do Rabbi Yosef think? But one could say, Rabbi Yosef says that there are mitzvahs that are represent a general ethical obligation, and the mitzvahs that also reflect an obligation to a specific person, for example. Take Gezer, right? It's dishonest to steal. It's wrong, ethically wrong. And I also owe that person his money, right? I also said, they got machazera to the person I stole from. When I give the Kohen, the first Aliyah, is that an obligation to the Kohen, right? Torah says, the Kidashta, Shkodash, Medusha, I now have an obligation to the Kohen, right? And when I don't give the Kohen the Aliyah, he may not have a monetary demand, but he has a complaint against me. I took away his Aliyah. Or, it's Dr. Sharon, right? It's an ethical notion. In this particular case, it's the Kohen who happens to be the one who gets left out still cheap. But the fact of the matter is, don't see the Kiddushta as an obligation to the Kohen. It's an ethical principle. And one should act in an ethical fashion, and that ethical fashion in this particular case means to recognize the role of the Torah gave to the Kohen. Find something. This pasuk, by the way, in Mishlei, is quoted in a d'oraisa context, in a sugya which gets little note, because it's not followed through many other places in Shas. Achronim quoted in various sugyas, but it's very difficult again to finish that. The pasuk is Rachel Bachei Noam, Chomish Yosef Shalom. This applies, and anyone here who learns about Yomi, with probably still remember that many weeks ago in Yevamah, in a case in Yevamah, and this is all right. The din of Yevamah is that a husband dies and has no children, then the wife is subject to the Yevamah Khalifa or Khalifa, one of the brothers. If he has a child, whether from this wife or from another wife, then there is no even a chalitza, and on the contrary, it's also Yisra'eshetach. What if the wife is pregnant? You have to wait and see. If the child is born, the live child, because the uber is only Shiyato, Russian ruble, if it comes out alive, passes from you. Now, what would happen if at one point there had been a child, when the child died before the father? So the fear of Yivam exists. Doesn't mean that the father never had a child. It meant at the time that the father died, there no right descendants. Right? Again, if they have grandchildren and all this. Right? No right descendants at the moment the person dies. So the Gemara in Yivam has asked the question, let's say that the fellow dies and he has a son. Therefore, there's no fear of Yibum. And the wife, therefore, can do anything she wants. She goes and she marries someone else. And then the child dies. Car accident, the child dies. that even though there's no fear of evil initially, now that her husband no longer has any live descendants, we should say that she should have to divorce her husband. In the other, if you're a Hakim, same market, right? They have to keep his name alive. So the Gemara, in saying why we don't require to do so, says it's a chassan in Rachel that they know. Simply inconceivable that the Torah would require a woman who's now married to someone else, yes, 10 years later to suddenly divorce her husband and go back and be the Yavis. Because now the child's off. It's not pleasant. No. The Torah couldn't possibly have meant it in such and such a case. Could have said, you know, and it's interesting because there could have been a simpler explanation in terms of, well, there's no need for the Shas Maisa, the Chiyuv wasn't Chal, because it wasn't Chal, it can't be Chal later on. But the explanation given by the Gemara is, it's a Chassarim Rachar Darkei Noach. Here's clearly the right. And that's okay, they're running well. Because it's the right that she's included to be in the other, and they're running with. She couldn't live with a second husband. I mean, the Zika would come back. I mean, it can't be simply Darabar. Clearly Darabar. And it's based on some moral notion. Right? Same, very same problem. As I said, this principle is not applied elsewhere very often. Now, this principle of Dr. Shalom, of course, is most famous for being applied in dealing with non-Jews. Let's turn to the Shamak Aleph on the Aleph. We asked the Mishnah, I quote the last line of the Mishnah anyway, in the Machin Day, I need not Queen, the Lechit Shik will prepare me Dr. Shalom. The word Nochri, by the way, in the Mishnah and in the Gemara is always problematic. Because of the senses, whenever the word Nochri appears, we always have a problem figuring out what exactly it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be Akum. Clearly, Nochri is a general term. Akum, all the problematic dollars means that all the word is over. That's more specific connotation. If you, the reason why I say it's always a problem is if you take the famous subject, which I do quote later on, the Mishnah on Baba Kama Amit Zion, Shar Shinagach, Shar Shisrael Shinayah Shar Shal Hagdish. The second half of the Mishnah talks about Shosh Yisrael Shinagah for Shosh of Knani. That's in the Mishnah the way I quoted it. Here it says Knani. And you'll find if you take different Gemaras, you'll find Shosh of Nachri, Shosh of Akum, Shosh of Mitri. Knani would have the implication of the Shiv Tamil. Knani. This is a censorship problem. But be it as it may, so it's referring to some kind of a non-Jew, right? And clearly not like a kosher, non-Jew, regular non-Jew. So it says that if a non-Jewish oni tries to take lechet shikul peyah, which after all it should be restricted, it's a Jewish halacha, right? He's in the Torah to leave out the lechet shikul peyah to our ani. If a non-Jewish poor person is around and takes it, you don't stop him in the darkest shore. In that context, the Bryce is quoted, Torah Bonon, Mepharmisim, Aniye Nochrim, Imaniye Yisrael, Umevakrim, Chole Nochrim, Imchole Yisrael, the Kovim, Mesei Nochrim, Imesei Yisrael, Medarkest Shore. So the Bryce extends it. Not only do I allow the poor of Nachri to take, I give sucker to causes involving poor non-Jews as well as poor Jews,
Can the darkness show him? I visit their sick because of Darkei Shalom. I bury their dead because of Darkei Shalom. The word Im Yisrael here, as Rashi points out, does not mean with life. Doesn't mean that you don't have a separate Jewish cemetery and a separate non-Jewish cemetery. You don't bury non-Jews and Jews in the same cemetery as with. It's just life. Yeah, but the abrogation, there he is. Zach and Sean, do for non-Jews. Right, but I mean with not in a sense of together. That's right. Right. You're right. I have a third point.
Not together in the same cemetery.
That's right. Right. Together at the same time. Right, same amount together.
Hospital.
Right, right. Now, in the Mishnah, and they look on Samachat and Avia, the next Mishnah continues with the dinim of Darkei Shalom. Mashalach isha lechaverta ha'chshuda la'shviyas napa v'chaber rechayim v'tano all these are Darkei Shalom. Right? La'omah me Darkei Shalom. That even though Shrius, and you have to have a certain amount of dealings with women who are not careful with Shrius, and it's probably Sayyid al Zaira. So, under certain circumstances, you should help them and be involved with them for the Darkei Shalom. Darkei Shalom applied here to people who are not 100% observant, clearly. Right? And you support the Nachrim and Shrius. You help them, and you give them Shalom Aleichem. What's the problem with Shalom Aleichem? The Rashi says, not because the problem is reading a non-Jew, the problem is the word Shalom. Shalom is the Shema, is the Shem, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're using Shem, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of just saying good day, you say Shalom Aleichem, never do that, Shalom. You use the Shem Hashem. And then the Sugya, I skipped two pages, it's in the end of obviously, yeah. Well, it's from Aaron, so we understand. Alright. Now, discussion in the Gemara about exactly when you give Shalom, what about on their holidays? Shouldn't be implying that you're supporting their holidays. So the Gemara says about, he says, Shalom Alamar, and Rashi says that he did it in such a way, it was Yom Edom, it was their holiday, and he didn't really mean it to him, but for peace, he sort of gave him the impression that he meant to him, even though he really seemed Shalom to his Rebbe. And Tosfos, the last Tosfos, rejects it. So, Ian Shalayeh Bazeh Gonev Das Abriyot. If there's no problem, it's Kofler Shalom. If there's double Shalom, that's a problem. Not a single Shalom, whatever that may be. Alright, and Tosfos relates it to the notion that Nevis Das Abriyot applies to all Brinos. Even the Mandam who says Yad Rachim is Mutter agrees that it's same as Das, Dasar in a non-Jew. And Tosfos applies it when there's no monetary Nasanina. Then if Das can then leave somebody, anything, right? He then sees the same hello to him, I'm after saying hello to someone else. Even that could make a Das problem going to say. Now, aside from all these halachas in this Mishnah and the Brachos here, there are a number of other halachas we find where for harmonious relationships we make certain restrictions that one can do in monetary matters. Often in those other cases, not discussed here in Gittin, but throughout the Zikin in many places, we use a different word. We talk about Mishum Avon. Question of if a wife finds a lost object. Right? She didn't, there's no work and she found it. So who gets it? The wife or the husband? So the Baal of Mishum Avon.
Not everybody. One explanation. If this is an explanation, why is Shemeva? It's a calculation. How often is a wife going to find a valuable object? Chances are slim. If she keeps it, when she finds something valuable, it's going to cause a rift in the relationship the husband and the wife. You know, suddenly this, she puts away in a separate account. She doesn't want to share this with him. It's better for her in the long run that the bond that is given to her husband, the husband is the regular account, because there'll be a more harmonious marriage. And there are many halakhos in Shemeva. Now, Mishum Eiva somehow doesn't sound quite as noble as Mishum Dan Mishal. Mishum Eiva sounds more pragmatic. Let's give perhaps the most controversial application, not from the Gemara. Right? It did it, the Gemara. We're only obligated to say a Jew's life on Shabbos. But the principle of Bikuach Nefesh Tarakula V'chai Ve'em L'Shirom V'Fem is applied on the Jews. Right? Certainly if you apply the Pasuk, the explanation V'chai Shabbat Acha Amas Vishmar Shabbat Atarma doesn't apply to non-Jew that doesn't keep Shabbat, doesn't keep Shabbat at all. Right? Some rabbi doctors, right? After you get finished, you go to medical school, and you'll be the rabbi of the expert, and then you're in the hospital, and they bring in a non-Jewish patient, and the course is all over, she's having no doubts, and it's a genuine non-Jew. And it's Shabbos morning. What do you do? So the overwhelming majority approached him, not all of a sudden overwhelming majority, didn't say, you say him. Why? Mishum Eiva. So here it would appear that Mishum Eiva is a vet. Talking about being Machal Shabbos, the Ikra Din. Right? If the Ikra Din, you're not obligated to say, and you're not permitted to say, so Shabbos. Rather serious Avera. Mishum Eiva. What's the Eiva here? You can imagine the situation, the word gets out, the Jewish doctors. Which used to save non-Jews and Shabbos, right? The imagine that anti-Semitism is going to cause it's a real danger to Jewish survival. This sounds very pragmatic. I realize if one wants to make Jewish survival to moral issues, right? But then we're sort of stretching the whole point. Right? Sounds like a very pragmatic argument. Right? Now, so the question comes up, whether we should make one distinction. We go as follows. We have the following option. We say Darkei Shalom, and every sentence from Darkei Shalom, it means an ethical principle. This is not just pragmatic, it's an ethical principle. It's a Rabbanan reflection of what Abaye says, called a Torah Kula Mishum Darkei Shalom. Right? It's a fundamental Torah ethical principle with a rabbinic manifestation. The specific rabbinic application. In contrast, where Eric says Ava, what Ava means, survival. You'll survive. Now, all one can say, as some Rishonim say, the terms are just used interchangeably. Right? And therefore, you can't prove anything whether the term is Dr. Shalom or Ava. It could be an ethical principle, it could be pragmatic. One would assume, in the case I gave Mitzvah Ishto Levala, Dr. Shalom, that Ishto is an ethical principle, right? Saying it's Agarata. We make reference to the fact, story of Zabinat in Tokel, when the water came up from the home and he wanted to murder the dead. And throw a piece of paper with God's name into the well of water and cause it to recede. And then a kavachomer, malas hashalom, and ishta ishta yitzimach Hashem Hashem. Last kind of come to save the whole world. But what he's speaking that clearly is that the emergency to make shalom and ishta ishta He might be Hashem. Echo, that's what Tzadik Yehuda really says. He can take a parsh mitzvah with the Shem Hashem, to the Kisa Mechika Shem Hashem, and to make peace between the husband and the wife. So you're allowed to take that piece of paper and cause the ink to loosen as he might Shem Hashem. Right? That would be around there, Chanuk and Erev Shabbos. Right? Like Shabbos, Shinish, the Ishtar, that's very important thing. So it could be that he was today, but means that he showed. Or it may mean that you have to look at case by case. In some cases, decided means it's an ethical issue. In other cases, it's simply pragmatic. The Nafkamina, of course, is when pragmatic arguments, well, then only a pragmatic argument only applies when it's done pragmatically. Let me illustrate with a very important example. A principle that's somewhat similar, even though we often see in a different light, is Chil Hashem. It's Chil Hashem. There's a machlokes in the Gemara about Gezel Akum. Right? Gezel Akum Mutar Akum. I was passing Gezel Akum is up. There's a day in the Gemara that says Gezel Akum is Mutar. The Tos and Brahma Siyah asked the Kasha. It seems to be an extremely strong Kasha. How could anybody possibly think that Gezel Akum is Mutar? I have a conflict with the Torah to prove that it's not true. The Torah says that if a Jew is sold into slavery to a non-Jew, what you have to do, like the Tisha in Cornelio, right? I'll remember for a second. If Jew is sold to a non-Jew, even to Rabbi Zara, according to what he brought me to the conversation, right? In Bahar, so I have to redeem him. How do I redeem him? I have to calculate exactly how much the guy paid for him. Right? He sold himself, and he sold himself for $20,000, right? And there's 10 years left for Yovel. And he sold himself, it comes down to $2,000 a year for Yovel. I want to buy him back 5 years later after paying 10 out of $20,000. Yeah, well, after his mutter, when do you have to pay him back the $10,000? So, time to the extra cash. We're looking in find the right marker for you. Yeah. It's after the sugya in Gezel Akum, which talks about this sort. The sugya in Baba Kamek, which is Gimel, the Bible Yom, it says, Nanaka Vakim to us, the Tamara, Tamil Lomar, Acha, Nimka, Gula, Tiolo, Shalom, Yishachana, the Yate, Shibiyate, Yachi, Yiglam, the Tamara, Kishad in Cornelio, Yizakit in Cornelio. Right? His eye on the plan to get Tosha, so he sort of can't be there. The Gemara proves that they are real God. Right. So the Gemara, skipping to, I have a page at the top. It's in Rav Mitzvah. And remind them again of Kutin Mutar. Again, I told you. The other word Akum is supposed to appear, the Gemara, because the senses uses the various alternate phrases. And here is Kutin. It doesn't mean Kutin. It means Akum. Pass by Kutin, the Kutayev, I go to Makio. The Gemara says that it can't be that Gemara. This is Gemara that everybody comes off the Gezel Mamash is also. Skipping Gemara. So he told me it's a Kashim. In Toma, Laman the Omar Gezel Akum Mutor. My Omar they look raw as a Bechishe in Koneyu. Zashin in the Gezel Basra, you talk to him in Koneyu. So you shall know you go on the level of the level Bakizim, the dark new Akum, the Gezel Akum Mutor. The lacquer made it through the cry, she yardam takifa al atman. That maybe you'll say that the only reason you have to pay the man is because the guy that case is going to take for the grain. We're not dependent on it. They're independent. Right? They have control of themselves. I can't force my way upon him. Can't say that. Then can't have you come up for you after the yoga. If you ate the yoga, well, I can really kind of yoga. Can't be talking about such a case. But the din is that if I don't redeem this Jewish slave from the Zari shoulder, he goes out in yoga. So obviously talking about a society under Jewish control. But if the Goyim were not under Jewish control, why should you release this slave here? Because we have a deal yoga. He brought a slave. According to his rule, in the non-Jewish world, there is no jubilee here. There's no yoga. According to his rules, he can keep the slave forever. And we go to him and say, sorry, our rules say, no, he goes out of yoga. So we must be talking about a case where we are destroying such people, right? We're talking about that we're controlling the government, and we set the rules, and therefore we explain to the guy, come go there, the slave, the Jewish slave goes free. Nevertheless, we say, but I can't just take him and pull him out from the Goyish owner. I have to pay him and pay him the right amount. The Chishim, Kaneil, I can't underpay him. You see, get locked in his office. The Tosis answers, the Yeshloma, the Hechra, the Yikachil Hashem, molded us. Sha'akum batach olav, v'nasan lo kol schoro, v'ad yechil Hashem, v'yotze v'chazoko kozim ha'yoga. He said that even in a situation where the Jews have control, right, we're not worried about making them unhappy. Right? We have control. And even if we say that there are circumstances, we've now fired food to your family, you might play. And the Israeli government, the religious Israeli government, goes, tell the Arab on one hand, the only Arab is the yoga, that's the halal. But, if we can get the money together, we'll buy him back from you. And since you already used him for 1 year, we now owe you $9,000, not $10,000. And if we don't buy him back at the full $9,000, the halal shit. Why? Because when this Arab bought this poor Jew, paid for his fair and square, right? Paid by the rules, paid out his money, got his place, right? That's the Chalasha, according to the Torah. Tell me what takes Gevati Hudu, it's not Chalasha. What we see here, the Chalasha clearly is a moral stand in this context as well as every other context. Chil Hashem is not a pragmatic argument. The Jews will look bad in the eyes of Goyim if it would be a Chil Hashem, as people use it in popular conversations. But Chil Hashem means that for the Jews buying back the slaves and not playing by the rules, even though we control the situation, the rules of how much the non-Jew pays for the slaves, that's a Chil Hashem. Because it implies that we don't deal fairly, and that the rules of Torah aren't fair, that's a Chil Hashem. So we see Chil Hashem, for example, here, it's an ethical, moral principle. Right? Now, what about that, Yisrael? Let's start here. But my whole point is that Ava would seem to only operate when we're in the minority. I know that Shil Hashem obviously operates when we're in the majority, like what's the token? No, we have. The mission said Dr. Shalom, it's not. I did not say that, you know, that Chil Hashem operates, Ava would operate, I have another principle of subsidy. that each principle has to be applied in the case in which it's applied. You can't just plug that in the end and say this replaces that. So Hashem has its rules, Ada has its rules, that Hashem has its rules and limitations. Now, the Rambam is quite clear. Well, thanks. After the last quote of the Sukkim Hanizokim, we go straight to the Rambam. The Rambam starts in Hef Malachim Perajur Alach Yisveh. Shnei Akum Shabbala Fanech Ladin Vadon Medin Yisrael. Rasu Shneim Ladin Din Torah Dani. I'm still recuperating from the flu and I shouldn't be speaking so much. But I didn't know when I agreed to speak this week, I wasn't a Roeth and Ola. Echad Roeth Vechen Roeth and Kofresh on Adlazun, Elabedin Ahem. Haya Yisrael Rakum, Im Yeshkos for Yisrael Bedin Ahem, Don Labedin Ahem. For Omen Lau Kach Dinchen, Im Yeshkos for Yisrael Bedin Ahem. The Jews get the benefit of that, right? We pick the system. It's best to follow our DM, and it's teaching the Jew and non Jew, we follow ours. It's better for us to follow their rules, we follow their rules. The Chay Uriali, the Uriali, Shein Osen came again, Toshav, and Olam Donin Valbadinehem. That any advantage given to the Jew only applies to the Jew and then only to Chavos. But again, Toshav, which means the non-Jew who accepts the Shiva Mitzvah Shnei Noach, doesn't apply. The Uriali in the Rambam means Rambam does not have a formal mark. The Shein Uriali. Shinoagim im Gere Toshav v'derech Ered u'gnuvat chasodim ki Yisrael. Shoi anu mitzuvim lach yosem shenema l'gera shebesharecha v'tnena v'achot v'achot. Right? Which means that the Gere Toshav, all our obligations of going derech Ered and gnuvat chasodim. Gnuvat chasodim I take. Simplicity is meaning going beyond the formal requirements. That is only about the theme, extra. The intensive means not that I deal honestly with someone, it means I go beyond being honest. I extend myself. That's what the mitzvah is all about. Right? Because that's included in the mitzvah of Lach Yosem, which applies to Gerdosh. Is there Sha'amu Kachom in Kofim and Shalom Ba'akum Lava Gerdosh? Asilu Ha'akum. Sibu Chachamim Levaka Choleyem Velikvar Meiseyem Imisei Yisrael Lefanas Niyeyem Bechlal Aniyah Yisrael Meidaki Shalom Harei Nemar Tov Hashem Lakol Rachamav Alkol Ma'azov V'Nemar Drachar Dachei Noam Mechol Nisib Azeh Shalom. The Rambam makes a distinction between our obligation to a Gershoshav and our obligation to an Achim. And there's one thing in this Rambam that requires elucidation. It's probably more than one. Why the Rambam adds an extra parker? And the extra parker doesn't seem to clarify anything. Why? What's the Makkah from Dachi Shalom? It's sort of one hit. Rachel Dachi Noam, Kolesi Vatah Shalom. Why does the Rambam add by saying, Hare Nemar, Tov Hashem Lakol, Rachamav Akol Ma'atos? What does it have to do with us? Right? God is good, right? God is good for everyone. Right? I'm not God. The implication of this first part of the in the Rambam is don't think that Rachel and Israel Shalom is just a vague kind of notion. It's a very important obligation here. Think Tov Hashem Lakol Racham Avakol Ma'asol, and we have an obligation if he dumbles, right? Well, after the drop-off, the following station of Gadi Baruchu, so we have an obligation to be told Lakol and Rakamah Okoma. Zake Shalom. After the Pasuk, Rakhada Chinam Chesera Shalom. Part of the Mishnah. But if it's a means of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not back in the right level. On the one hand, at least, certainly the right is under the mitzvah of Balak the Drop. Is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu? I think there's no doubt that to the Rambam, Dache Noah, Dache Shalom, as she's seen properly with non-Jews in a specific context, is an ethical principle reflecting a basic value, not a pragmatic argument, and I'll prove it to you again for Rambam's exercise in a second. Let's talk for a moment about Ger Kosher. But to the Rambam, at least, Ger Kosher is different. Ger Kosher is a higher obligation. The obligation to treat a Ger Kosher on a certain level is parallel to our obligations in Derech Eretz and with fellow Jews. One of the open questions that a great deal is written about today, not because of this particular Rambam, but because of the Rambam dealing with territory in Eretz Yisrael, and the right, whether non-Jew has the right to have territory, to sell territory in Eretz Yisrael, you allow non-Jew to live in Eretz Yisrael, is that the Rambam has a very strict notion of how one becomes a Ger Kosher. And in fact, one can't become a Ger Kosher with Manazel. Don't tell the people who know our kind of movement. But according to the Rambam, at least, a Ger Kosher requires a Maaseh Beis Din, and that only can take place at a time when there's Binyan HaBayis. Rambam is explicit. Listing all the halakhot that are told in Kedushas HaBayis, the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and Binyan HaBayis, one of those halakhos, the Rambam is a struma, here we talked about which halakhos require Kedushas HaAretz, and the Churban HaBayis, and the destruction of the land no longer apply. Amongst them is Ein Mekablin Ger Kosher. However, the Rambam is certainly aware that not every non-Jew who's not a Ger Kosher is under the category of Akum. Because Akum implies old Deir Avodah Zarah. And the Holy Shul comes up particularly in terms of a Mohammedan. Right? Because the Rambam passes the most Rishonim paskin that Christianity, traditional Christianity, Catholicism, for the old-time believers who really believe in the Trinity, right? That's about the dark. But the Mohammedanism, which believes in one God, is not about the dark. It makes the Mohammedan, the Muslim Arab, at least, not an argument about the dark. So he's not an Akum. But on the other hand, he's not a Ger Kosher because even if he wanted to become a Ger Kosher, a Mekablin is manifest, you don't have the mechanism. What do you do? Is there a category in between Akum and Ger Kosher? Very interesting topic. A lot of articles have been written about it in terms of Eretz Yisrael. Not in terms of Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael. But Herzog wrote, when he wrote at the beginning of the Fascist Mistake on minorities, how to keep the minorities in Jewish states, according to Halacha, he wrote on this, it was reprinted recently, they put out a sort of, almost not quite a call kit, but all the articles, and six volumes of Herzog. Things have been written more recently, obviously, this is a very controversial issue. But I'm bringing it up, because it should apply in this context as well. Right. However, we're going to understand that in strong respect to Akum, assuming that the Rambam is correct, the numbers to the Rambam get closer are completely different, is there any category in between? Akum means even an idol worship. Get closer means the technical get closer. So, God is the Shem and Mitzvah, it's Mitzvah they know, the Grand Bezit. What about someone who's not an Aron Zerot HaKlamim and is not a Ger Kosher? Would there be any such distinction? I'm not going to say anything further, I don't have an answer. I'm just mentioning that it's an interesting topic to be pursued first. That the Rambam feels that this is a very important moral issue, is also mentioned in a fascinating Rambam in Hilchot Kehilim, Teresh Mishnah.
Just a little bothered though about the Rambam, because it's not like being a Jew that you need to support most of the things. It's just an idea that a guy living in Israel who keeps the
Shabbat. No. So the Rambam gets Hashem is a form of Gairus. The two levels
like
of Gairus.
It's like a quasi Jew?
That's right. Yes. I didn't want to get into this argument. It's a Gairus. It's a different kind of Gairus. The two kinds of Gairus. One's a Gairus Tzedek, and the other's a Gairus Hashem. A Gairus requires Kabbalah. Tzedek requires Kabbalah. There's the famous Rambam. I'm always getting nervous when I do these things. But then somebody's going to say, same time? I don't know. When the Rambam discusses why a person accepts the Sheva Mitzvah without believing in Maimon HaSinai, but simply because an ethical person who comes to decision on his own, that these obvious principles are correct. Right? The Rambam discusses the concept of the Chassidei Umat Olam, the Shulachim is only going to do it because they believe in divine revelation. But what if someone does it on his own without divine revelation? So here there's a thing, there's a very important nakhlosis to his thought. Because the Rambam says, Einam is Chassidei Umat Olam, and he either says, below Mechachameyem, or he says, Elo Mechachameyem. Is that it's a Vav or an Aleph that seems to make a substantial difference. So it's pretty interesting because the Rambam never defines what he means halakhically by being Chachameyim rather than Chassidei Umatol. Chassidei Umatol he defines. And nevertheless, this two Gesalos in the Rambam and the Machlokes about it, if you haven't heard about it before, you've heard about it, say it is with the very famous and it's been a machlokes throughout the generations, and the implications of the two Jews are the two Gesalos in the Rambam. Many of them. The Rambam Teresh Mishnayos is much, he's very strict in Mishnah Torah, that he really goes into tangents except at the very end of any series of halakas. We throw in the last halakha. Usually is when he gets his musar in the last halakha. Otherwise, he's very strictly halakhic. Teresh Mishnayos also doesn't go into tangents. Here in an obvious place, Perak Yidvei Mishnayos Kehilim, which we all learn all the time. So the Mishnah is talking about definition of a kli, with Kehilim. And the Mishnah is dealing what happens when you have a coin. And the coin rubs out. Alright? So the coin, coin starts rubbing away and becomes smaller, it becomes used for other purposes. It didn't throw it away. It no longer was valid as equal to the amount of money that it was supposed to have. It became an ornament. Once it becomes an ornament, so it's a kli. If it's a kli, it can come it. Right? So the Mishnah is talking about at what point When the Dina is Nisal, the Shala is Nisal, does become a plea. But the Mishnah concludes, but there's a problem here. The problem is, not that it's a plea enough, but if I have a coin that's partially rubbed out, it's no longer worth what it usually was worth. Right? We assume it's to take the gold coin. And it's really worth it. Gold is really worth it. It's not symbolic. It's not paper money, right? The coin that's worth the value. And part of it's been rubbed down as what, besides the question of when I turn to an ornament, is it please have a tumor or not? It's another question. At what point do we say you're not allowed to have it around? It comes under the problem of him said that, and Evan said that. You're not allowed to have around the house that which can be used for this kind of purpose. Of course, I can't, it's a law in the Torah, I can't, and then I say, I can't have a dishonest measure in my house, even if I don't use it. Right? I hang it on the wall. I have a scale that's in our oar. But I'm not weighing anything. It's a pretty scale, and I use it as an art piece on my wall.
But because someone might come to you that is a scale, and it's not, you know, the way some balance, so it can be used to decide it. I'm not going to have it in my hand. Discuss at what point do you say you got to throw it away? You can't say anything. Okay. So the Rambam and Mishnah Zion, the one on the right side, you turn it this way, it's the Rambam. Wind around. Okay. And in the middle of the Rambam, The Mishnah says nothing about non-Jews in the Mishnah. The Rambam is a complete tangent. You can't use the dishonest coins, rubbed out coins, to fool the non-Jews. V'zera shayitnu hamon uksas mehamon ha'om. He goes on to explain that part of Gezelachim is also. But I find what you have to find interesting, the Rambam, is not just how strongly the Rambam expresses it, but the Rambam is aware of another view. That the Rambam talks about not just the Hamon Am, that's Mehe Yechidim. Yechidim to the Rambam, I mean, people know better, not the Hamon Am anymore. There are some kind of Chachamim who think you can fool God. And he goes on in rather very strong language, skipping to the first wide line, Amru, Dignav Das Abriyas, Vedash Rabbi Chachavim, also Dignav Das Abriyas, Vedash Rabbi Chachavim, the Koshim, Zavish Yucha Lava, Vedechel Hashem, Shuzay, Zel Chay Gadol, Vagel, Asam Tchunas Rosh, Ve'elu Harat Kum Mashadiro, Shu Yitav Otsam, Yitav Otsam, Omar, Shu Toravat Hashem Elokecha, Kul Ose Ela, Kul Ose Avlo, Kul Ose Ota. So I got done in the Kavan of Sainu. I guess we're a little bit overboard here. Ram speaks how terrible it is to mislead Goyim, and to try to fool them to monetary advantage. And he asks the three interestingly. If there's no Chil Hashem, the problem is Zerah Takum Asur, and the problem is Nehav Zan, because he's Me'at. Kosh gain the Chil Hashem, right? The Rambam has monetarily, right? We're not allowed to do it. Chil Hashem, the Marlis will hide in that. And Tavas Hashem, it's good. We become disgusted in God's eyes because we are immoral people, right? Because also, it has the effect of what kind of people we become if we're cheap and foolish. So it's quite clear, according to the Rambam, that in dealing with non-Jews, this is not merely pragmatic. It's an ethical issue. It's a halakhic issue. The issue of our fundamental character is reflecting how we deal in God. Yes. The Rambam already hints at reference that others may look at it differently. Now, throughout the generations, and I really, it's such a wide topic, that I didn't even try now to present any of the material. If you want to read about it, you know, if you want to read heavy halakhic stuff, you can read Jacob Cash's book. There's more than one on it. I talk to the looking at the attitude Jews had to non-Jews throughout the generation. And it's a whole issue which may vary in terms of the particular kind of non-Jews one's dealing with. Okay. If we go back to the sugya in Baba Kama, which I quote just the Mishnah, and I didn't go into the whole sugya. There you get the whole variation. Because on one hand, you have the Gemara say that they were given. All right, you find the Gemara, and the Bavli says it, Yerushalmi says it, because they didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvahs, they were obligated to keep. Keep them and Monam and Yisrael. Right? That the guy's money was, you know, given over to the Jews. And Tosis, Al-Atar, says, the Chesam al-Atim, the Baba Kama. And the norm, they don't get this for us. I only got the Mishnah. We go further in that sugya. I did have it. Here it is. But after the Mishnah, the Chesam al-Atim, all my teeth in the Mount of Yisrael, Mash, my Daphne, and Zeh. And there's two Gisons here, which I won't go into. And Tosis assumes that the sugya is based on Gedlach and Milarka. Why? Because here in the Mount of Israel refers solely to the case of Sharshanar. Very strange. He has a very general statement to the Gemara of hitting the Mount of Israel, and along comes Tosis and says, no, it means in this one case in the Mishnah, Sharshanar. And here you have all kinds of things, and you find the Shita Mekubet is suddenly quoting the bar, quoting the Gemara Baba Kama. We have to find Shita Mekubet quoting the Gemara Baba Kama. And the answer is nowhere else. He had to make any sense of that. They selected from the Shita Mekubet and Baba Kama those things that call the sense of that. Right? Here we said the Jews allowed that if a Jewish ox scores a Gaisha ox, he doesn't have to pay. And the Gaisha ox scores a Jewish ox and takes another show in all cases. And as well as the Hidden Imam and the Israel. So they quote the Shita Mekubet, we'll both quote the same Shita and the Erie, where the Erie says that all this applies to those Goyim who don't, are not, not civilized, don't keep that anymore. Very interesting, you read the Erie carefully. The Erie is not saying that since she knows all Devon and Zona, they're not all Devon and Zona. That's not its criteria. You have seen those who live a civilized life with some kind of law, and those who are barbarians. You can be a barbarian and not be an Arab or Israeli. You can be civilized and law-abiding and be an Arab or Israeli. That's a technique where the Christians are, aren't, or were, weren't Arab or Israeli. I use the word were, weren't, rather than aren't, because Christians today don't believe what they Christians believe in the Middle Ages. That's a discussion. So the Meiri is quoted here. And from the Shita Mekubet says, right, that's the first Alice, and then the days, where he quotes the Benayonis and Lunel, who says that he quotes the Shemitza Adamin, that he quotes out of Zion, takes the word Shemani literally, a very difficult cheater. And frankly, if one looks at the Titans of Benson Lunel, and we now have inviting the critical edition of Rabbi Kamran, put out by Shaman Friedman, and his also a big value of the whole shot. And we're going to Akkaimin Lunel. The Vesta Kamran Lunel happens to say that I don't really believe it's the Shiva Salman. Yes, he really says, fully. The part that's quoted here is only part of it. He explains the Mishnah the way the Rambam explains it. The Rambam says it's a reciprocal relationship. Since the Goyim don't make someone pay for the damage caused by his animals, we're not obligated to treat them better than they treat us. They don't pay for that damage, we don't have to pay them for it. Rambam,
Mr. Imam is quite explicit. But the implication was that we live in a country where they made people pay the damages to pay animals, and we would pay them. It's the only specific case. The question is reciprocity in our relationship with them. We're not obligated to treat them better than they treat us. The Gershwin now explains where the Rambam explains. However, he says, but if the people are going to get angry with you, the saying is, to tell them that this Mishnah only requires the Shimitanim. Because that's where you take the Mishnah out of the realm of reality. The Shimitanim are long gone in history, right? Bosan Chayyav is the Jew Baratuma, so you can fix anybody up. No one knows anybody comes from anywhere, they no longer exist, doesn't apply to anyone. You get the impression from here, from the partial preparation now, that's literally how they run the top of the issue. It doesn't run the top of the issue. It says that's the way they got the sense of what it's about. Right? By saying it only refers to that. I mention it because it happens to be, for those of you who are really in the know, we'll get the reference here, as this is a, the event now is therefore in contradiction to the famous Marshal. On the latter part of the Sugi and Baba Kama, the latter part of the Sugi and Baba Kama talks about the two people who came, the two non-Jews who came to learn what the Torah was all about. And they came, and they sat and they learned for years. And they said, you learned your whole Torah, and the Torah is all just and wonderful. You have one problem. Right? It's not just, it's not fair. And he says, but we won't tell, you know, we're not going to tell government on you. That's the sugya later on here. Same story. And the answer Shlomo asks, why did they lie to them? Right? If the problem was that the government, it's a real danger, the real sakana to the Jewish people, the guy's going to go back and say, the halakha is prejudice against non-Jews, and it's halakha, so why didn't they fudge it? Right? Let me just say, not the correct mission. The Yamsha Shlomo derives from this Gemara that even though it doesn't seem to be listed in the Mitzvah Yarei by Yavar, but Ziyah HaTorah is never permitted. You can't fight it. Right? You're not allowed to lie and tell them the full halakha. Right? Okay, and it's based on the Tosfos. Tosfos asks, how do they teach them the Torah that we're going? Now I teach the Torah to go in. The Tosfos gives two answers. A little Tosfos. One answer to Tosfos is, also a peak that the way I'm most of when the sky will limit our abdomen because it's not the Kuach Nefesh. The government demanded it. There's no Yahweh by Yahweh teaching Gai and Torah. And the other answer is they were fools. They came and said you were gay. Right? They didn't say they were gay. But the first answer in Tosfos was, they knew they were Gaiim. Right, they knew, but they were not getting much in effect. The Mashal said, so why did they just lie to them? And Mashal concludes, you're not allowed to lie to them. Well, the Zenith will now often doesn't learn like the Mashal. How we answer Mashal's topic, that's a different topic. But since he says, you can tell them if you first should have to them, that even though in fact he's first to all Gaiyans, means he holds allowed to lie to them, you know. The guy is going to cause anti-Semitism. It's an observation that's relevant to whom it's ever relevant. Alright. Getting back in your name, we find, of course, in the Gemara, many, many statements dealing with the relationship between Jews and non-Jews. And of course, after the Simchas Torah, we still, throughout the Shon and Achronim, we find. And a lot of it has to deal with the degree to which we have to deal with non-Jews with the same standard of honesty and morality as we have to deal with fellow Jews. And it's not just a theoretical discussion. Obviously, it's an important issue in terms of anti-Semitism, particularly in the modern world where people seem to know about everything. There was a
an anti-Semitic journal in Germany during the First World War that managed to get access to every single reference in the Shulchan Aruch that anything which would either imply you treat a guy different than a Jew, or, interestingly enough, anything how you treat a Moses, a Jew who tells at another Jew, the secular authority, or a Mumar, an Apicharius, lumped it all together and said, look how the Jews hate the non-Jews. Right? And the Yaakov Weinberg wrote a rule on the sheet, which has been reprinted in a collection that is called the Prokim, in which he answers that we talk to him that this is that we talk to him like the Miri, and none of this applies to Jaimus Manager. And he's not the only one of the Akwana because we talk to him like the Miri, so clearly many others don't say that. Yeah, the Miri is only one mission. The Miri is not everywhere. And no one seems to know where the Miri got a sheet from. I've been written and written, so I don't know what's the mocker for the Miri. It's so much based on the Ramban today. You find, I suspect, and this is not a halachic statement, not justified by the color, right, prior to the Jim before everything else I set up on that, that the general tenor is much like the way I interpret the Rambam Mishnah Torah of reciprocity. In a society where the Goyim treat Jews, well, when the rules, the laws apply to us, we treat them analogy as well. It's very much like the notion when we get to the principle of Dina de Machusa Dina. Dina de Machusa Dina means the Jews have to keep the law of the land, and the law is essentially fair. Fair meaning not that I decide I like this law, I think it, you know, meets my standards, but it's fair that it treats all people equally. When the laws are prejudiced against the Jews, you don't have to keep them. But if they treat everyone by the same, you know, equally unfair, or equally fair as the case may be, if there's equal treatment, then we have to keep them in the right. There's certain similar kind of notion, not identical. So whenever the Jews are treated fairly, then the Jews respond to get locked up. Even when those things that are not specifically offered, and there are things between guys and non-Jews, then the principle of Dr. Shalom is introduced, the question of Torah Hashem is introduced. However, in societies where Jews were not given fair treatment, then you will find Chuvish quoting all the Heterim and this case and that case, or the Fulham of these circumstances and that circumstances. The question of accessibility of Torah Hashem also operates in it kind of one's notion of what the society one is dealing with. Now, to give you at least one marker different than the Rambam, to be a little bit fair. That's right. You're here for lying, Shemesh. I'll put in the whole quotes from it. If I have it. In the Kedusha Rashba, and Rav Mitzia, which of course you ask me, which one of the verses about Rav Mitzia and Rav Mitzia, and here I have the Hamazayit here in the middle of the Amitav Al-Khaim D'Araisa. I don't want to go into what the Suki is there. The whole question of balancing two cases. One is overloaded donkey. You know, Greek, exactly. The overloaded donkey is also an element of Tzar Balachayim and taking the load off the donkey. Not just the master, Tzar Balachayim. However, if it's a loading and unloaded donkey, there's no Tzar Balachayim. So the Suki in there is discussing the question whether Tzar Balachayim is the right or the rabbana. So the Gemara says, and Tekman gets the Yisrael now. The Yisrael says, the Ezekah, the Tekman, the reason why that way the Tzar Balachayim in that case is not because I always
For different reasons. Because here to make a donkey the man true. Avis Ulatan and Fred Umatal. The Rashba answers, Yishloma the Hawk Shigad Yisrael Takipa Umatal. El the Kimishim Avis Shalom is all in Kipa Alaska. The Rashba here explicitly says, as I mentioned before, in general terms, that the concept of Ava is understood very pragmatically. The Ava means that the Goyim can hurt me, then I have to go beyond the requirements of Allah because of Ava. But if Yad Yisrael Takifa, Yad Yisrael Takifa means we control the situation. So I'm not afraid of Umar Sa'ala. The Ava then is not an ethical principle, it's a pragmatic one, right? It would be an ethical principle. I wouldn't distinguish between who's Yad and Takifa. Okay? My ethics isn't the ethics of the straw, right? The wheat. It is ethical, it doesn't make any difference. Question, what about Daki Shalom? Daki Shalom, according to Rashba, this is an aim at the Umar Sa'ala, right? So there's an article that I include from Rabbi Wurzberger, in which he assumes Rashba is on the other end of the scale from the Rambam. And see, this whole question of whether in our dealings with non-Jews, whether we have a Daki Shalom defined as an ethical obligation to deal with them fairly, which goes beyond the technical prohibitions of gentle Akum Arthur of Nevesan, and even when it may be Chil Hashem. Is it an ethical issue affecting our relationship with non-Jews? Which he says that's the Rambam. Yeah? Or is it a pragmatic? We're in exile, they run the world. Might argue shouldn't be too uppity. You're not in position, you're not strong enough. So it's no longer ethical, it's self-survival. And Abel then is seen as a principle of self-survival. And the truth is that those who the applications of Dr. Shalom and Abel, which I certainly didn't have time to do, and I'm not going to keep you all day anymore, right? There are times where Abel is seen to be more than pragmatic. Very difficult for discussions of Abel in relationship between husband and wife to be seen as merely pragmatic. It's not a pragmatic argument, you know, how do you like to fight? Right? According to the Mechik Hashem Hashem by Tota, made Shalom and Ishta Ishta. Right? Gadol, right, Ner Shabbat, you have money for Ner Shabbat, Ner Hanukkah, you buy Ner Shabbat. Why? As great as Shalom and Ishta is, Shalom Bayit, as great as clearly, if Shalom Bayit is a higher principle than the Sumei Nisa, it's not a pragmatic principle. It's a goal. It's a goal. On the other hand, there clearly are cases where Ava is to be seen in a limited way. As building pragmatic, that's what I'm saying. And the guy who controls the situation. You got that, you know? Can I watch that? When we'll be in control, maybe different. Obviously, the situation in Israel today, you know, lurks in the background at least of some of the things I'm discussing. Even if I haven't worked forward yet, I won't finish this. There is a broader question. And the broader question is the one I started with. The broader question is in general. Right? We have the principles of Zakai Dachai Noah. Right? And I quoted one Gemara. Right? The only thing in all of that that we could find, not Dachai Noah, it is one case of Jesus. Right? Something else. In all these situations in life, there must be more than one Dachai Noah. Right? It's an unpleasant. You shouldn't ask Achronim applying in other cases. But certainly, it's for a principle that seems to be so broad, it's applied very rarely. And having gone through the three blocks in Gittin, right, all the applications of Dr. Shalom, except for Rav Yosef, which is hard to understand, is hard to understand, all the actual applications of Dr. Shalom is Rav Yosef. We do have the notion that there's a chi of midrabanan and that there's a chi of midaraya, right? Which would make sense, right? Yes, the chi of giving the kohen the rishon in that case, or returning to the chi of the chayyashar to the karkaron, is only midrabanan. But when I do so, I am not mekayim only keeping the rabbanon, I am mekayim the raisa because I am acting in Dr. Shalom, which is the raisa principle. Even though the pasuk Yachad Achinam is in the Torah, sorry, Mishnah. But the general the raisa principle. An article was written recently by a friend of mine, Professor Blitzstein from the Shad University, who happens to be from Shida here together. She points out that as much as we talk philosophically about all these ethical principles, we find that the master in the actual halacha discussed in the Shas, that they appear only very rarely. We all pick out, you know, the famous Lassim Mishurat Adin Sugin Yenizak Zomis. And all the cases where people are told to act in ethical ways. And it's true, and these are Jewish principles. But we find their applicability into the detailed structure of halakha, and therefore that which comes out in the Shulchan Aruch, to be actually very, very limited. Why that's the case would be a discussion of a different type. Think about a halakhic discussion. An interesting discussion. There are a few possibilities. One might say, because by its very nature, it's in the realm of the Tzimim Meshurat Hadin. Right? Its very nature, these are the kind of things that don't lend themselves to be quantified movement of halakha. How do I then understand if the case where it does apply? That's a clear answer. Another possibility is to say that these are very fine ethical principles. For the fact that halakha works that way. Halakha works with rules. And the problem, the reason why you don't apply a principle like Rakhana that they know of, only apply this case in your bonus, is because it's too vague to apply. And it's too personalized. Right? What's unpleasant to one person is pleasant to somebody else. You know, halakha requires a principle that I can apply. Right? It can be defined and quantified and applied to cases. Instead, applies to case A, it doesn't apply to case B. When you have these general ethical notions, it becomes very difficult. And the truth of the matter is, I don't have to prove from these things, but all of us know that the term Chilul Hashem is thrown about so much in conversation. What to one person is obviously a Chilul Hashem is nothing at all to someone else. You see that these are the kinds of things that don't, which is very hard, you know, to put into, you know, categories and cases and define it in specific cases, which is an essential nature of halakha operates. Okay, I'm going to stop here. No, so I started a little late, but that was my first.